You guys can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. I am super grateful for the brethren here, and you guys know me. There's one thing in my life that matters. Yeah, there's lots of things I enjoy. I mean, Mr. Simpson's up here tonight, and Julie says, "Man, Mr. Simpson's got some cool shirts." He's sporting his Bobcat shirt. I was like, yeah, all right, you know. Cancel out some of you guys that purposely wear your Grizz stuff just to bug me. I know how you are. You know, those things, I'm a little, you know, I get passionate in certain areas of my life or certain things. There is only one thing that really matters to me. There's only one reason that I'm alive. There's only one reason any of us are alive. And that is to do the will of our Father. That is to complete the mission that Jesus came and started to seeking to save that which is lost. And man, I got to tell you guys, I am so tremendously grateful to have people around me who care about the same thing. Like precious faith, you know, the scripture says. I remember a number of years ago here in Billings, you know, we were just kind of getting this thing going. And you'd Bible study with people, and you bring them to assemblies, and you felt basically like, you know, okay, there's maybe you and one other person, or you know, maybe who's friendly to them, and now like we're a team. So I get the opportunity to Bible study with people, and they start coming to assemblies, and it's not just me being friendly to them; other people are going out, and you guys care about the same things. That's important to me, and I appreciate that. And in all honesty, the Lord has blessed me and my family beyond words. I actually posted on Facebook today the two great decisions of my life was to be obedient to Jesus Christ, His gospel, as a disciple to be immersed into Christ, and for Him to forgive me of my sins and to put His Spirit within me. And the other was to ask Julie to marry me. And she said yes, which is, I guess asking without the yes wouldn't have been that great. But those two decisions, I don't care whatever else I get right, wrong. I mean, I do. But if those are the only two things I got right in this life, I wouldn't trade it for anybody else and with anybody else in the world. And I think, you know, because of Christ, guys, if the Lord builds the house, right? When the Lord builds the house, then our labor's not in vain. And so, just encourage you guys and thank you very much. John chapter 1. We're going to read verse 43 through 51. Mark Donahue had the line of the night. What'd you say, Mark? I'm usually better after if I've played it at least once. Right? That's true, brother. And to the song Footsteps of Jesus. Jesus came and He left us an example for us to follow in His steps, right? He's shown us how this is done, but we got to do it. You know, He came, He showed us, and by the way, follow up on that verse, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. This is where the Lord is taking us. And so He left us this example, and it's awesome. But He expects us to pick up our cross and follow. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling? Come follow me. We got to do it. Right? You can talk about something all day long. I remember when I first got a job at the Athlete's Foot in Bozeman. And nobody knows the Athlete's Foot like the Athlete's Foot. So you don't get it confused with the fungus or whatever that's out there. But selling shoes. And, you know, I wasn't very confident and didn't know what I was doing. And so the first few days, I'm basically just listening to people that are working there and trying to learn from them. And just by listening and watching and paying attention, well, then I'm there on a Saturday, and it's like super busy, and they can't get, and one of the guys is like, basically, here's your chance, go help somebody. You can listen all day long and learn from someone, but at some point, you got to go do it. And that's what the gospel is about, for us to be doers of the word and not just hearers who are delusional. So, John chapter 1, verse 43. The next day, Jesus purposed to go forth into Galilee, and He found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Tonight I want to key in on, "You shall see greater things than these." But as we build towards that, you know, there's terminology in the Scripture. Let's actually flip back to Matthew chapter 13. One of the things that we say it in different ways. People are stubborn. And people are resistant oftentimes to the will of God. And people, well, the Scripture says people are dull of hearing. That's why there's emphasis in the Scripture, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And in Matthew chapter 13, I just want to read this little section, verses 10 through 16. The disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, should be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear.'" Brothers, you ever just stop and be thankful for what's been given to you? I mean, I understand that every one of us had a responsibility. We had a choice to make when presented with the gospel. We had a responsibility to act upon that. We had a responsibility to heed the glad tidings. But do you also recognize what a privilege it was that we actually got to hear them in the first place? To have that choice clearly laid out before us? I mean, sometimes I just am overflowing with gratitude to the Lord for what He has done. I should be all the time. I shouldn't say sometimes. What He has done for us is absolutely amazing. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Part of my Bible reading today was from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the end of that. And I ended up was praying through the Scripture. And you guys know me, I am a sensitive guy at times, and I'm not a guy who cries while I'm preaching or that kind of stuff very often, but that's probably something about Julie putting up with me for 20 years and being particularly thankful for that. But I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and praying about it. I mean, tears started coming down my eyes just to think about the word of the cross. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, isn't it? It absolutely did not make sense to them. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And I was just thinking about God's power as revealed in the cross. What does power do? You can't get work without power. There has to be energy that's supplied. There has to be a power source there. And God, basically what I was just thinking about is, I couldn't move. Well, how would I move as a Christian? I couldn't be a Christian. I couldn't be a disciple of Jesus Christ. How could I go anywhere? apart from what he did. He laid the sacrifice that he made. That was powerful to get me to move. Yes, I had a responsibility, and I don't want to undermine every individual responsibility to respond to the gospel. But just the fact that I had a choice, just the fact that God's mercy and His love and His forgiveness instead of judgment. How amazing is that? Blessed are your ears because they hear, and your eyes because they see. The other thing I was thinking about, sometimes I spend a lot of time and energy trying to convince people. And I am all for laying out the evidence. But some people, guys, that if those who are perishing, it's foolishness. You're not going to convince somebody who isn't willing to be honest. Jesus talked to these guys in parables. Why? Because to them it's not been given. You know, I just going to throw this in for free here. What's the difference between the disciples in Matthew 13 and the other guys? What the only difference I see as I read through this is the disciples asked. Because later they say, Lord, could you explain this parable to us? We don't get it. But you know what they did? They asked. Explained. They wanted it. They were willing to follow it. There's nothing wrong with asking questions, guys. And if you know, sometimes some of us, I know, we think we're a little slow. And we come to Christ and we're like, I don't get this like the rest of you guys do. That's not really true. I was teasing Nolan a little bit tonight about, where is Nolan? I want to look you in the eyes when I'm using you as my example. But I was going to have him lead the singing. He's like, I was like, I don't think I've ever heard you lead the singing. He's like, well, I've done it before. I said, well, it's been so long since you did it that I forgot. He goes, I'll do it. I'm just not that good at it. I was like, okay, well, I'm not either, so I'm not going to. I know with Nolan it's not a lack of courage, right? Hey, there's other guys better than me. But he explained to me. He said, you know, I get. Can I tell this? Okay. He's like, a little late now, isn't it? You don't have to ask him privately, guys. If you're a disciple, you want to know, you can go ask, ask him later. But he said, I'm not that, like the songs I know. People are going to ask favorites and I'm not going to know. Well, it happened even to Mr. D tonight, so that can happen to anybody. But he said, I don't really know him. I don't know, I can't think of how to start it or whatever. And he said, I was always the guy that, the slowest guy to learn the map on the video game, or I was like, yeah, I'm like that too. Nolan's a smart dude. So, but Nolan asks questions, he keeps going till he gets it. Once I get it, I get it. Hey, so I don't want anybody to misunderstand. Just because things can be a little difficult to grasp doesn't mean you're not one of the chosen ones. If you're willing to pursue it and keep asking those questions until you get it. Those are the people the Lord's looking for. And those are the people we're looking for as we're making disciples. People who are honest and willing to pursue this. Fleshly man has a really tough time placing appropriate value on spiritual things. Matter of fact, most of the time, even people who think of themselves as spiritual, or religious, or Christian, they're still trying to use God to get what they want. I'm going to preach on this for just a second, because it can happen to any of us. But you know, you go to the Bible bookstore, and the majority of the books in that place are basically self-help books from a religious perspective. They're, or not, is that, not from, yeah, me, I don't look too close, right? But, you know, people buy these books and this stuff all the time. What, and the bottom line is, what is God going to do for me? How can God help me with my family? How can God help? That is not what Christianity is. Jesus says, come on, follow me. There are benefits, certainly, of doing that. And there are blessings that God gives us. But we don't do it for me. I think that's going to show up in my message on Lord's Day. A steal from Mr. Simpson. We got to be careful, guys, of why we do what we do. Are we here to serve the Lord? Are we still interested in Him serving us? Fleshly man doesn't place appropriate value on the spiritual thing. Like, well, maybe if I could get the spiritual, a little bit of the spiritual, then it will help my physical life. That's the approach of people of the flesh. We're not of the flesh. We're of the Spirit. Amen? And so we understand the things that matter are the spiritual things. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 2. This is a comment Matthew made a few years back to me. But just seeing the interactions that I have with people when we go to the Y together, and I don't really lift with Matthew anymore. We used to do it together, and he'd see interactions, and he said to me, "It seems like, Dad, it seems like most people have some spiritual interest, but very few people have spiritual follow through." I think that's true. Jesus is preaching to the multitudes in parables. There's multitudes there. There's some spiritual interest. Where's the follow through? That's the disciples, right? These are the guys who ask. These are the guys who hear. These are the guys who see. These are the guys who recognize the value of spiritual things. That it is the priority. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's pick it up in verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. Yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Lord's given us a mind to know Him. The Lord's given us a mind to be able to appropriately appraise. What does Jesus tell Nicodemus in John chapter 3? Yeah, that's one. Jesus does say that. Are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? Nicodemus was a teacher. He didn't get it. What was the conversation leading up to that? Clint?
About being born again, being born of water and Spirit.
What did he say about being born again? I'm not going to come back there, just yell it and I'll repeat it. Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was struggling with that, wasn't it? The move from the fleshly to the spiritual is a big move. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, though, until you are born again, you are never going to be able to spiritually to assign proper value to this. You're not going to recognize the value of the kingdom. Brethren, we've been born again. That means we've been born from above. We of all people should be spiritual and assign the value to that which really matters. Okay, I'll walk halfway back. I knew it was a quick answer.
I mean, that's a great point. It's, you know, Jesus said follow Him. What was Jesus? Fleshly man focuses, great point, fully on self. Jesus, what did Jesus do? He gave up everything. He gave up His life. What did He say to us? Got to give up father, mother, brother, even your own life. You have to give up everything. The focus has to be off of you. That's the problem with self-help. You're still focused on you.
Yeah.
Got to start focusing on other people. You want to get out of that muck, out of the depression, out of whatever it is. Start reaching out and helping out others. The problem with all of that pity party, whatever you want to call it, is it gets the focus on the individual. Why can't people see the kingdom of God? Because they're too focused on themselves, either on their problems, their money, their stuff, whatever. You want to see the kingdom of God. So the people that were listening caught it because they were looking for something. The people that didn't hear it, they were happy with their fleshly life where they're at. C.S. Lewis had a great comment. I don't remember it exactly, but it's right along the lines of what you're saying. People hope to give it to God, but just to keep back just a little bit for themselves, hoping there's just enough. You can't do that. You're going to be miserable.
That's well said. Yeah, these, you know, and maybe it is they're happy with where they're at, maybe they're sad where they're at, but the bottom line is the focus is on themselves. And the Lord comes to rescue us from self.
And to Larry's point, the disciples struggled with that all through the time that they walked with Jesus. It took them a while to get that. And then we see lots of new examples when the early church began. Ananias and Sapphira, Simon the sorcerer, what can Jesus do for me? It was kind of the attitude. Even the disciples, can I sit on your right and he sit on your left? They were actually looking for position after in the afterlife, but I don't think they understood what they were looking for. But, it's the thing that helped, I think, the reason that they were able to overcome that is because they were with Jesus and heard his word all the time. And if we're going to overcome that, we've got to be in the Word all the time. When we stray from the Word, then, it's easy for the flesh to get back in there. But, the Scripture is very spiritual, feeds the Spirit, and keeps your eyes focused on the right thing.
Yeah, that's excellent. It's easy. It's actually fun, guys, when you read through the Scriptures and you see even the mistakes of others. And like you were talking about these guys, the disciples struggled with themselves. And then hopefully the light bulb comes on and you say, okay, Wilson, how many times has God said, come on, man. You have little faith. Get it right. Get the picture right. And so it's certainly a practical thing for all of us. And the only way is to be in the Word, to follow.
Like 99 out of 100 times before I became a Christian, I was the first thing on my mind when I woke up. I was my own favorite subject. There was no question about it. But, becoming other-centered and becoming a Christian, it's all about other-centeredness and thinking about the other person's feelings before yours and thinking about Jesus and what he's done for us. And there's really nothing more than that. That's all we're here to do, is to serve the Lord and to do the best we can and put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, that's excellent. Here's a pretty new Christian, but you're right. And we all were there. And sometimes we can slip back into that, and that's the Lord's focus. Hey, get that off of self. And when we do that, that's well said, Tyler. When we begin to focus on other people, when we die to self, that's when we live. That's the way the Lord has this set up. He wishes to save his life shall lose it. He loses his life for my sake, and the gospel shall keep it to life eternal, right? So we don't want to be those who are dull of hearing. We want to be those who have ears to hear. And that's who we're looking for, too. When we're going and we're making disciples, that's what we're looking for. Well, you look at this, John chapter 1, as Jesus is making these disciples. They were, many of these, already disciples of John, but they're transitioning. These are spiritually interested men. And Nathaniel was one of these guys. Spiritually, his ears perked up at the right things, didn't he? His eyes lit up when talking about things that really mattered. And so, we saw that last time, that he ends up confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Israel. And, what got Nathaniel to come to that conclusion? While you were under the fig tree, before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I don't know what Nathaniel was doing under the fig tree. I have no idea. Was he praying? Was he doing something he shouldn't have been doing? I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us, but the Lord saw him. When we're in the Word, we spend time with Jesus. Jesus knows us, doesn't he? He sees us. He calls us to follow. And Jesus told Nathaniel, he said, you're going to see greater things than these. Brethren, isn't that the truth? I love Bible studying with people before they're in Christ. Because you take people and they're so, they either know absolutely nothing or everything they know is wrong. Kind of. You understand what I'm saying? We all were there, right? But to see the light bulbs, they start going on. And I get so energized by that. To see people like, oh, I get it. And they see Jesus becomes real to the real Jesus. He is made manifest to them. And that's super fun to see. And we all, that's how we became Christians. We had to come to, Jesus had to be preached to us. And we saw him. We understood who he is. In at least the beginnings of who he is. And so Nathaniel, that's what happened to him. He saw Jesus for who he was and was like impressed. If people aren't impressed by Jesus, guys, they're in the group that they're among those who are perishing. The word of the cross is foolishness to them. Yeah, they're perishing. But for those who are being saved, man, this is like, he's impressive. He knows he's right, and he knows me, and he gets that right. So Jesus tells Nathanael, he says, you're going to see greater things than these. Go with me to John chapter 14. What does apostle mean again? We covered this a couple weeks ago. One sent out, right? So, the apostles were special disciples. They were ones Jesus particularly commissioned. And these guys are going to be sent out as his eyewitnesses. Okay? And why? To give eyewitness testimony of what Jesus, of not only of his crucifixion, but also of his resurrection, and ultimately, even as we'll talk about briefly here, his ascension. And Jesus was in the process of selecting Nathanael for that. In John chapter 14, verse 26 tells us, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Guys, we get the Helper too, but the Helper isn't all these specific promises of the Helper. Some of them are particular to the apostles. Have you noticed that as you read through John 14, 15, and 16? Many of them are particular to the apostles. The apostles were, the things that they had seen, the Holy Spirit was going to bring to their remembrance so they could get their witness exactly right. So it's going to be accurate. It could be a message that would be told to the whole world. So, just as a freebie here, guys, I do not care about your personal testimony. I do not care about it. And nobody else should either. When we're working with people, the testimony that matters is the testimony of the apostles and New Testament prophets concerning Jesus. People's experiences, and our experiences are okay to bring in to relate to people what Christ has done in our lives, but they're only there to get people to see the witness that's been revealed in the Scriptures. That's the testimony that matters. And so, Nathanael is one of these guys. He was going to be one who was chosen as a witness of this. Actually, flip forward with me to Acts chapter 10 so you don't think I'm just making this stuff up. Acts chapter 10, as Peter ends up speaking to Cornelius, in the middle of his message here in verse 40, he says, God raised Jesus up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. There were some particular witnesses that God had set up, particularly the apostles. And the Helper was going to bring to their remembrance. So Nathanael was going to be a witness of the things that he saw beginning from that time that he started following Jesus. So, you know, the Lord knew what was coming. The Lord knew his plan. But at this point in time, Nathanael doesn't know that plan. Nathanael's just interested in spiritual stuff. And he's following that. One of my favorite DVDs to show people is one called Where Does the Evidence Lead? It's not even about creation. It's about intelligent design. So it's not like biblical creation. It just establishes, hey, there has to be a designer. But I like the title of it. Where Does the Evidence Lead? And so people who are interested in truth, their ears open, their eyes start seeing, and they're going to follow that. Where does this go? All of us were there. We didn't know that. Sometimes I still don't know ultimately what God's plan is for me. Like what He's going to accomplish through me. But I know this. I'm going to follow the truth wherever it goes. That's where Nathanael's at. At this point in time, he doesn't know he's one of the ones Jesus is going to pick as an apostle. Jesus knew. Nathanael's just being honest and following that spiritual interest. So, we know Nathanael was going to see Jesus, his earthly ministry. he was going to be one of those, you know, John says it well in the beginning of 1 John. You know, we, our hands handled, you know, our eyes beheld, our hands handled concerning the word of life. These guys saw Jesus day in and day out. They saw him walk on water. They saw him heal the lepers. They saw him raise the dead. And they saw him after he was raised from the dead. So Nathanael got to see all those things. Jesus told him, you're going to see greater things than these, than the fact that I saw you under the fig tree. Because I don't know where you started from, and I don't know where anybody, when we're out there in the world and we're mixing it up and we're sowing seed and we're trying to hit that eternity button that people have in them, just trying to punch that and find it, right? Trying to find what sparks them. Everybody has their own fig tree, if you will. Everybody has something that, whoa, it just hits them. And then, but that's the start. But man, there's greater things than these. Christianity doesn't end at our immersion into Christ. That's where it starts. There's greater things. What we saw leading up to. I mean, the word of the cross is awesome. It's amazing. But the story doesn't end there. And for Nathanael, he's going to see greater things than these.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I see here, and you can chime in, I guess, or whoever else, is that Jesus is an amazing leader. And he's already starting to train the apostles that are present there by building Nathanael up. You know, position gives perspective. He's trying, look, there's no guile in this one. You know, he's building up his character. He's expounding on the self-image that Nathan, you know, trying to build on that. And that's exactly what we need to do with each other and with those that we're working with. We need to build them up. Yeah. And that's what I see Jesus is doing, is, man, you're going to see great things.
Yeah. That's a great point, Mike. You know, I'm impressed when somebody's spiritually interested because, you know, Jesus is building him up. But he's not flat. There's a difference between flattery and building somebody up. Jesus isn't flattering Nathanael. This is true. Hey, you call it how it is, man. With you, there is no guile. There's no deceit. You're not trying to. You're an honest guy. And sometimes I have to work on my attitude towards people. Work on my attitude towards myself. And so sometimes I had to work on my attitude towards some of you. Okay, all of you probably. To love you the way that Christ does. I have to work on that with myself and with you. But I'll tell you what, man, it is, in one sense, it is relatively easy to make those attitude adjustments because anybody who cares about truth and is willing to follow what Jesus says here about Nathanael is exactly right. That's impressive. That sets you apart. It makes us, you know, on that road that leads to life. And that's incredible. I love you for that. We should love each other and we should encourage and build up as in the process of making disciples. People who respond and make the right choice and you see people do things. I mean, I'm going to pick on Tyler and Marina in the back because, from the beginning, these guys were, you know, Tyler didn't really know anything about the Lord. He wanted to. Marina knew some stuff. It wasn't all right. She got some good upbringing and some things, but it wasn't. She had some hurdles to cross when it came to what the Scripture said concerning salvation. And both of these guys, they're coming along and they're taking those steps and they're making that progress and they're making those right choices. When it comes, they were living together at that point in time. They not married. They said, hey, this isn't right. And they chose to move out and live separately. They got immersed into Christ and then got married. And, you know, it's just these sorts of things. And we come to know more and more to make those right choices. But that's something I still will hold you guys up as a great example in that. Because you see those things. It's like, these are the ones, the kind of people the Lord's looking for, isn't he? People who are willing to be honest and follow that wherever it goes and make the changes that are necessary to be right with the Lord. It's a super encouraging thing to see that. So, yes, you're right, Mike. We need to build up people who we see making those choices and certainly within the body of Christ. Jesus did. It's not flattery. Jesus recognized people and he commended them for taking those right steps. So Nathanael, he got to see some cool things. And he's starting that day. But he's going to see more. He's going to see all that, those miracles of Jesus. He's going to see Jesus after he was raised from the dead. But he's going to see something even greater. In verse 51, Jesus of John chapter 1, Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Nathanael was going to get to see some things by the Holy Spirit, by revelation, that then he got to make known to us. If you're still in John 14, I wanted to read a passage in John 17 as well, but we're going to go to John 16. In John 17, Jesus' prayer before he... So right before he crosses the Kidron, Kevin? So right before he crosses the Kidron to... Going to go and he's going to be arrested later that night. But he's praying. He prays not only for the apostles whom he had chosen, but also for those who would believe in him through their word. Nathanael is one of those witnesses. He left that. We believe in Christ through their word. In John chapter 16, verse 13, I want you to notice something else that the helper was going to do for these chosen witnesses. John 16, verse 13. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." There's going to be some extra information these guys got following Jesus' resurrection, ultimately following his ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit. So these guys were eyewitnesses of everything that Jesus did, virtually everything that Jesus did on earth. But their eyes were opened up to what happened in the heavenly realm. Jesus ascended into heaven. He is high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Would you get that out of reading the Gospels? I wouldn't. Matter of fact, I don't think it's in there. But I wouldn't get it without the book of Hebrews. And the hints are in there other places, but I couldn't get it without the book of Hebrews. Hey, this is made known to us, manifested. Nathanael got to see that following the ascension of Christ. Hey, Acts chapter 5, verse 32 talks about the apostles say, "We are witnesses of these things." And he's talking about including not only the crucifixion of Christ and his resurrection, but he was exalted as a prince and a savior. They got to see the exaltation of Jesus Christ. They got what Stephen saw. The end of Acts chapter 7, he saw the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. These guys got to see by revelation. We get to see them too, don't we? Clint, how do we see these? Through the Word. That's how we're going to get to see these things. So be in the Word. It's going to shape the way that we think. It is fun to have our eyes open. Mr. Simpson loves Ephesians chapter 1. Might not be quite up there with Hebrews 12, but it's one of his favorites. Ephesians chapter 1, turn with me quickly. In verse 18, the way my Bible reads, it says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe." And then it goes on and expounds on that a little more. But the literal on this is the eyes of your heart having been enlightened. Guys, our eyes have been opened up. Hey, the veil's been removed, hasn't it? We get to see God for who He is, and His glory is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ through the pages of the New Testament. God's made this known to us so that we can know the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. This is good stuff. Jesus telling us, like He told Nathanael, "Hey, you saw that I died for you? You're going to see greater things than these."
say, you know, what did it require? Nathaniel didn't see that at that time. What did it require? It required his faith. It required Nathaniel had the faith to follow Jesus. Even he didn't see where it was going. He probably had no clue what Jesus was talking about, like you said. Same thing with us. We have God's Spirit in us. We have what's there in Ephesians, you know, but it takes our faith to follow through on it. If we don't act, it just doesn't, you know, sit here and, get zapped into you. These things don't happen. It requires our faith, our actions. And that's the exciting thing about the Scriptures. There's also, you know, it's kind of frustrating when you see people who are frustrated in their walk and they're not trying. You got to try. You got to put forth the faith. Nathaniel had the faith to follow him, even if he didn't understand it at that time.
Yeah. But this, I think the bottom line, this is fun. You got to enjoy this thing. It's great to get to know these things. And Larry, you're right. I mean, Hebrews talks about that Old Testament group of Israelites. They had good news preached to them also. But it didn't profit them because it wasn't united in faith. By faith in those who heard. Get you just a second, Mr. Simpson. Well, and something I want to clarify. Had a conversation recently and I thought I need to make sure I communicate this clearly. When I work with people who are outside of Christ, and I begin by talking about faith. Faith's more than a feeling, right? And I use that example of Indiana Jones and takes the blind leap, and that's not scriptural faith. But sometimes I think people get a little maybe don't understand the end of that illustration. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. The Lord gives us plenty so that we can see to take that step. But there are many times on this walk, on this bridge, if you want to use that illustration, you can't see the end of this thing. Matter of fact, there will be points you can't even see the next step. But you know what's there. You know what's been behind it. You know you're confident that God is right. That He's real, that He's right, that His Word's true. And you can take that step in faith without being able to see. So you're right, Larry. We do have to have faith. Hey, we're not gonna. If you're waiting to see everything, man, I was going to say you're going to wait until you get to glory, but you won't make it there. That's the reality of it.
I say that that verse 51 is a pretty important verse. That's a reference when Jesus spoke that back to Genesis 28, when Jacob had the dream and saw the angels ascending and descending on the ladder that went from earth to heaven. And of course, Jesus is the ladder, and since we're Jesus' people, we're the true latter day saints.
Thank you, Mr. Simpson. That's in case you're hard of spelling, the latter day saints, not the guys who tried to steal the name. Thank you, Mr. That was actually my last point that I really did want to hit. We did talk. I wasn't gonna say latter day saints. I'm not that smart. But the point is exactly what when Jesus is referring back to, and I think we did mention this before. I don't have time to hit it in detail, but you can check it out. Genesis chapter 28. I encourage you. If you're not familiar with what Kevin just mentioned, go back and read this from Genesis chapter 28. Jacob, sometimes called Jacob's ladder. It's not Jacob's ladder. It's the ladder that he sees while he's there at this place called Luz, right? And he sees these angels ascending and descending. Okay? And he says, surely, this is the house of God, the gate of heaven. Guys, who's the gate? Jesus is the gate. He is the ladder, isn't he? He is. And Romans chapter 10. Jesus descended. The lower parts of the earth. Jesus ascended. Jesus built that bridge. I want to just call it from hell to heaven. Okay? Because for us, that's where that's the only way to get there. Jesus provided it. We get to see that all the way to Jesus ascended to the throne. The only bridge between earth and heaven. Good stuff. As Nathaniel wasn't dull of hearing. He was open to the Lord. He had his eyes open. Dig in. If you don't know that account from Genesis, Jacob's ladder, get in there. Check it out. Search it. We want to know this. Why? So that we can win every argument? No, it's helpful. It's really nice to be able to handle the sword act. No, because we want to know God. We want to know His ways. We want to see Him. It's fun. We desire to be like Him, to think like Him, to speak like Him, to walk like He walks. That's fun. It's peaceful. Got a chance to hear John Hahn sharing a scripture here. And with somebody, and just remind them, discipline. Guys, discipline for the moment is never joyful, is it? In the moment, it's sorrowful. But afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's what we want. This is good stuff. It is enjoyable. And so I want to encourage you. Let's open our eyes. Let's look. Let's keep looking. Remember Jesus heals the blind man? Spits on his eyes? He says, what do you see? I see men. I see men like trees walking about. Okay. Jesus had him look intently, right? Looked intently and he was restored. We got to look intently. We you know, before we didn't see anything. Or what we saw was all a charade. Okay, and we get immersed into Christ and that veil's removed and our things are opened up. The curtain's pulled back and we get to see. But sometimes it's like this, you know. It's, you know, I see shapes. Oh yeah, it's John Morantic in the orange in the back. Hey, we gotta look intently. Keep looking. Okay? Dig into this. Man, it's fun. There are greater things than these we get to see. I want to close in 1 Corinthians. It is amazing how much Bible reading shapes our thinking. And the stuff I've just recently been reading, it just pops into everything's so relevant. But you know, in Proverbs chapter 2, throughout the book of Proverbs, but just Proverbs chapter 2 really encourages us to acquire wisdom. Like, you got to want this. You got to really, really, you got to seek for it, okay, as for hidden treasure. You know, it'd be like Caleb Gold when he's trying to find some of those gold flakes, right? And you got to go through a lot to find some, don't you, Caleb? Okay? You got to do a little bit of that this summer. You got to go through a lot just to find a little. You got to want this bad enough to go through a lot, okay, to get this. And that wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm just going to read. We'll read 26 through 31. Consider your calling, brethren. There were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. I don't know what you were in your past life. But even if you were amazing in your past life, the Apostle Paul says, what I was rubbish, right? Rather than me gain Christ. Verse 27, God's chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God's chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. We are the foolish and the weak that God uses to shame. All the worldly people refuse to listen, refuse to have their eyes open. Verse 28, the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that He might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Nathanael is a great example. He saw Jesus and he was impressed. He saw Jesus, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you're going to see greater things than these. Brethren, that's the journey every one of us is on. God's showing them, if we're looking. If we're looking. So keep your eyes open. He has ears to hear. Let him hear. And enjoy this journey as we grow in Christ.